So we're getting here with the Mishnah, the new Perek on the bottom of Samach Yamud Bet. These items with regards to Korban HaPesach and Duchet HaShabbat. Number one is Shchitato. Shchitat HaPesach, in order to do Korban HaPesach, obviously you have to do Shchita, and that is Duchet HaShabbat. Zrikat Damo. Zrikat Damo, really, there's no issue of Chilul Shabbat involved with it. It was just brought down. With Shchita, Zrika, they threw it together. Umichui Kravav, and the cleaning out or the emptying of its innards in order that it doesn't rot or go bad, so we allow you to clear that out. Haktarat Chavav, the putting on the mizbeach of the fats. Aval, tzliato, the roasting of the animal. Vadachat Kravav, and the rinsing out of its innards, inam dochim at the Shabbat, because those are both considered to be tzarech hedyot. Those are not necessity of hekdesh, but rather necessity of the people that are eating the korban HaPesach. Tosafot does point out that we know that hefshet of the animal is Duchet HaShabbat, because we just saw in the previous Mishnah that they used to hold it up and they used to flay it in order to get the innards, to get the fats out of it. So he says either that's included already in the Haktarat Chalavav, that the putting of the Chalavim, you need the Shefshet in order to get theirs, that's assumed to be subsumed in that halacha, or because you actually can't do regular Hefshet. You have to do some sort of Shinui in the Hefshet, so maybe it's not considered to be a real violation of Shabbat because of that Shinui, and that's why the Mishnah doesn't mention it. Harkavto, vavato michutz l'tchum, carrying it on your back, or bringing it from outside of the tchum, hatichat yivalto, and cutting off any wart or marking on it that would cause it to be problematic in terms of a bal mum, ain't dochim et Shabbat. None of those are dochet et Shabbat. Harkavto, carrying it on your back, because chay no se et atzmo, so that's only an iser derabanan. Chutz l'tchum, most likely is only an iser derabanan. And chatichat yavelto, if you do it with your teeth or with your nails, would also only be an iser derabanan. Despite the fact that it's only an iser derabanan, in dochim et haShabbat. They're not dochet haShabbat in order to accomplish the korban haPesach. Rabbi Lezer Omer dochim. Rabbi Lezer says, no, they are dochet. They're only iserei derabanan. Why can't we violate them in order to do the Pesach? Amar Rabbi Lezer, lo dinu, it's a kal v'chomer. Maim shchita shimushum melacha. When you talk about shchita, that's a real av melacha, dochet haShabbat. There we say that it overrides Shabbat. Elohim Shimun Shum Shavut. These things are only in Yisrei Derabanan. Why lo yitchot Shabbat? Why wouldn't it be dochet Shabbat? Why can't you violate Yisrei Derabanan? If you're willing to violate Yisrei Doraita, Torah laws, in order to do the Korban HaPesach, why can't we violate Yisrei Derabanan in order to accomplish the Korban HaPesach? Amalei Rabbi Yoshua, Yom Tov Yuchiyah. We have that exactly, the same scenario by Yom Tov. Sheitiru bo Mishum Malacha, Vasur bo Mishum Shavut. We have, in terms of Yom Tov, you have Ochel Nefesh, Eter Ochel Nefesh allows you to do certain melachot, absolute melachot, there are always melachot on Shabbat, yet the Chachamim still kept their Yisurei Derabanan that apply on Yom Tov. We still have Yisurei Derabanan, we still have Shavut on Yom Tov. What are you talking about? There's a big difference. Over there you're talking about things that are optional, things that have to do with lay people. Over here we're talking about something that is a mitzvah. So over there, you're right. By Yom Tov, I can understand what was mutar midoraita. That's mutar midoraita. But things that are isur midrabanan, there's no reason to allow you to do them because it's for your own personal gain. It's your own personal benefit. That we're not going to allow. But over here, when you're talking about a mitzvah of doing the Korban HaPesach, then maybe the Chachamim wave their shvut in the face of the mitzvah of Korban HaPesach. Why would you say, just because Yom Tov has it that way, that by Korban HaPesach, it should be the same? So hey, Shiv Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva jumps in now. Vamar, hazah tuchiyach. Hazah should prove it. Hazah is the sprinkling on the individual to make them tahor. So that is only a problem midrabanan. There's nothing wrong. There's no malacha in sprinkling on the person. The problem we have midrabanan is it's tikkun gavra. It makes the person now, changes his status. So we say that the changing status is like mitakin mana, mitakin gavra, binyan. Changing the status of an individual, like going to the mikveh and becoming tohor. Putting the hazah on is a mixed chazek, you're attacking gavra, it's like you're fixing the individual. And so because of that, the chachamim were usir hazah on Shabbat. So now it turns out that if you have ever Pesach that falls out on Shabbat, and the only way for this individual to bring a korban HaPesach is to have hazah. He's tamei right now. In order to get tohor, he needs to have this sprinkling done on him. If that's the case, we have Hazah, which only a Shvut, it's only an Isur Derabanan, and yet, we're not Dochet HaShabbat. We prevent this person from doing the Korban HaPesach because of an Isur Derabanan on Shabbat, that we don't allow Hazah on Shabbat. So he says, Af Ata Al Ititama, you should not be surprised or caught off guard by the fact that Elu She'af B'yeshe'im Mishum Mitzvah, even though these items, yes, they are a mitzvah, V'heim Mishum Shvut, and they're Isur Derabanan, Lo Yitchot HaShabbat. They won't be Docher Shabbat. Hazah is a mitzvah. Doing the Korban HaPesach is a mitzvah. Yet, Hazah itself is blocked. We don't allow you to do Hazah in order to be mafshir, to allow this individual to bring the Korban HaPesach when it's Shabbat. Amar lo Rabbi Lezer, Baleh Anidan. I disagree with you on that point as well. That's exactly the problem. You're bringing a proof from something that I disagree with. Says Ma'im Shchita Shimushum Locha Duchet Shabbat Shchita, which is an Issa Doraita, is Duchet Shabbat for Korban HaPesach. Azah Shimushum Shabbat. They don't dinsh Duchet Shabbat. Certainly, in Ochanami, Azah should not be blocking this individual. We should do Hazah on Shabbat. I don't agree with your premise. So Amar lo Rabbi Akiva Ochiluf. Maybe you want to say the other way around. Ma'im Hazah Shimushum Shabbat. Ain't Duchet Shabbat. Hazah, that is a problem, the Rabbanan, we say, is not Duchet Shabbat, Shchita, Shimushum Lacha. Shchita, which is Isur Daraita, Einu Din Shalot Duchet Shabbat. So certainly that should not be Duchet Shabbat. Maybe you shouldn't be allowed to do the Korban HaPesach at all on Shabbat. Amalo Rabbi Lezer, Akiva, Akarta Mashakatu B'Torah. You undermine what's written in the Torah, Bim Moado, Ben Bechol, Ben B'Shabbat. You have to bring the Korban HaPesach in its time, whether it's a weekday, whether it's Shabbat. So we have a pasuk that explicitly says the Korban HaPesach is brought on Shabbat. You bring it on Shabbat, you have to do shechita on Shabbat. So he says, Amar lo, Rabbi, Haveli Moed, La'elu K'moed L'Shechita. Well, you have a Moado to tell you about the Melachot, the Oraita, to say they're Mutar on Shabbat. Bring me a Moed that says that these three Rabbanan here are cleared. I mean, where is the exemption or the pasuk that demands that you do this? Aklal Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva explains his position here. Obviously, talking about Isurei Rabbanan, then they're not also midoraita. You're not going to have something that's matir them. So what's the principle that Rabbi Kiva is establishing here? Kom lachashiv efshar lasotam yarev Shabbat. Anything that can be done prior to Shabbat, enu dochet to Shabbat. That does not override Shabbat. Shchita shefshar lasotam yarev Shabbat. Shchita that's impossible to do before Shabbat, dochet to Shabbat. So you have to divide the items up here into things that can be accomplished or done before Shabbat. The bringing of the animal to Yerushalayim, the making sure that it's not a baal mum. A hazaah, in some instances, can be done before Shabbat. And if they're not done before Shabbat, we're not going to allow you to violate Shabbat in order to do it. On the other things that have to be done on Shabbat, you can't shech the animal before the 14th. You don't have a choice. So you have to do it on Shabbat. That is Docha Shabbat. And they have equal applicability, both with regards to Yisurei Doraita and possibly by Yisurei Dibbanan. Because you need something that is a Zman Kavua. You need something that has a fixed time in order to violate Shabbat. In order to violate Shabbat, you have to add, this is the time for it, and there is no other time. If there's another time for it, then it's not Doche et HaShabbat. Tanu Banan. Very interesting story. Somewhat disconcerting in some ways, but an amazing story. It says, Tanu Banan. Halacha zu nita'ama mibnei b'teira. So Rashi says, b'nei b'teira would nisim in Eretz Yisrael at the time, and they forgot this halacha. Pamachat chal arbasar liot b'Shabbat. Turns out, Erev Pesach was on Shabbat, Pesach fell out on Sunday. Shachachu v'liyadun Pesach Doche et HaShabbat im lav. They couldn't remember the halacha. It hadn't happened for so long that they couldn't remember whether when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbat, is it Duchet to Shabbat? Now, many of the Rishonim and Achronim have a difficulty understanding. How could it be that B'nai B'teira forgot halacha mifureshet, halacha psuka? It's found in our Mishnah that Pesach is Duchet to Shabbat. So there are numerous answers given here as to what was the exact issue. Whether one possibility is that they knew it was Duchet Shabbat, they just didn't know the source for it and they wanted the mikor. Number two is the possibility that a Pesach that was Dochet Shabbat, you wouldn't have all the individuals bringing a Korban Pesach, but rather you'd have a single Pesach brought for everybody together, or you would have larger groups together to minimize the Chilul HaShabbat. Or another possibility is that they thought that you would have to fix the calendar in order to avoid the situation in which Erev Pesach would fall out on Shabbat. Should they have made it a leap year in order to prevent Erev Pesach from falling out on Shabbat? So they come up with all sorts of hechitimses to understand what the nuanced problem was here rather than the straightforward issue as to whether Pesach is Dochet HaShabbat, Korban HaPesach is Dochet HaShabbat.
Amru, Klum Yesh Adam Sheodeim Pesach Dochet HaShabbat Imlav?
Is there anybody here who remembers the halacha? They're like asking around, anybody know what the halacha is? They didn't have the luach that told them what they were supposed to do, so they didn't know what to do here. Right. Amru Lahem Adam Echad Yesh Alami Bavel. This individual came from Bavel, Vihilela Bavli Shemo, Vihilela Bavli Sheshimei Shnei Gdolei Ador. He was someone who learned by the two greats, the previous generation, Shmaya Vavtalion, Yodea Im Pesach Tochet HaShabbat Im Lav. He would definitely know, he certainly knows the halacha. Shochol V'Karulo, they called him in. Amrulo, Kul Mata Yodea Im Pesach Tochet HaShabbat Im Lav. Do you know if it's Tochet HaShabbat or not? Amar Lehem, V'Chi Pesach Echad Yesh Lenu B'Shana Shot Tochet HaShabbat. Pesach, only one Pesach during the year that's Dochet HaShabbat. Although Arbe Yoter Mimataim Pesachim, Yeshanu Veshana. There are more than 200 Pesachim during the year that are Dochet HaShabbat. Amar lo minayin lecha. Where do you know that from? What are you talking about? Amar lehem, Ne'emar Moladu B'Pesach, Ne'emar Moladu B'Tamid. The word Moladu, which means in its time, is used by Pesach. The word Moladu is used by Tamid. Ma Moladu Amor B'Tamid Dochet HaShabbat. Moladu, that is said by the Tamid, is Dochet HaShabbat. We know the Korban HaTamid is brought every day, including Shabbat. So too, the Moladu by Pesach teaches you that you bring it in its time, irrespective of what day of the week it is, whether it's Chol, whether it's Shabbat, you bring it. It's a fixed time to bring it, you gotta bring it.
Now the reason that Hillel said that there were 200 Pesachim during the year, Rashi says the calculation is such, which is that you have 50 roughly Shabbatot during the year. Each one of those Shabbatot has two Tmidim, gets you to 100. And each one of those Shabbatot also has two Musafim that come for Shabbat. So that is 200. So it's more than 200 times a year that you're Dochet to Shabbat. Others want to suggest that it has to do with just Musafim because you have the Musafei Shabbat, plus you have the Musafim of the other Yamim Tovim that fall out on Shabbat. So therefore there's more than 200 that are Dochet to Shabbat. In the Yerushalmi, they actually have three different opinions as to how many are Dochet to Shabbat, 100, 200, 300. And all of these calculations would matter. 100 is the two Tmidim for every Shabbat during the year. 200 would be all the Tmidim plus the Musafim on Shabbat, and 300 would include also the Yamim Tovim on top of it.
In addition to that, it's a Kavachomer. Ma Tamid Shein Anush Karet Tuchet Shabbat. The Tamid, which doesn't have a punishment of Karet, is Tuchet Shabbat. Pesach Shanush Karet, and Utin Shadechet Shabbat. Certainly it should be Tuchet Shabbat. Miyad Hoshivu Abirosh. Uminu Nasi Alehem. They put him up the top, they made him into the Nasi. Obviously he was the man for the job. Here he knew the Halacha. And all day long he was the Reish, the Yochot HaPesach. So once he got up there, he started to poke fun of them a little bit. He started to tell them, you know, you guys are a little lazy here, a little stubborn, you didn't get the halacha, what's going on here? Why aren't you guys really osik b'Torah? Who caused the fact that I had to come up from Bavel to take over here? And I had to become the Nasi to replace you? You guys were too lazy. Because you were not mishamesh. Had you been mishamesh them properly, you would have also known these halachot. Speaking to Hillel, now I ask him, shachach v'lo yivi sakin me'erav Shabbat. He didn't bring the knife from Erev Shabbat. Mahu, what's the din? He says, I heard this halacha, but I forgot. So you know that this is mida keneged mida, meaning that he started to poke fun of them because they had forgotten the halacha. So you know what's going to happen right away. He forgets the halacha. So Elanech Lam Yisrael, a beautiful answer here. You know what? I don't remember the halacha, but let's just wait till tomorrow. Im ein neviim heim, b'nei neviim heim. If they're not neviim, they are b'nei neviim, meaning that they know what to do. They're going to do what they have in Misarah, mi'abu tehem. We'll watch what they do, and when we see what they do, we'll know exactly what they've done in the past. So, whoever had a sheep for their Korban HaPesach, they put it into the wool. They inserted it in the wool, the knife, and then the animal carried it along with it. Whoever had a goat, so it doesn't have wool, to get the knife to stick it into, to hang it on there, put it on the horns, between the horns, and put it there. He saw what the people were doing, and he remembered the halacha. This is the Mesorah I have from Shmaya V'Elton. From Shmaya V'Elton, that's the way that you're allowed to bring the knife to the Beit HaMikdash. Now, this isn't so simple, because you have a number of items here. Number one is the knives themselves. Why were they allowed to use the knives, or their own knives, to do Shechita? Tosfot asks over here, he says, V'imtaomar v'habai kli sharet. It has to be a kli sharet. The knife itself has to be a kli sharet. V'yesh lomar shikdishum hashto. That's not a problem. They could be makdish the knives later on. It's a very large Tosafot at the beginning of Ezum Mikoman in Zvachim who discusses this issue, whether the knives really have to be kodesh or really have to be a kli sharet. He brings proofs to both sides there and he has a long discussion of whether the knife itself really has to be something that's kodesh or what is the requirement for the knife of Hekdesh. Is it really a kli sharet or is it not a kli sharet? Over here, he's assuming it is, and that they were makdish them, and that's how they make the knives ra'oi to use for the korban. Number two is, he says, what's the problem here with carrying inside of Yerushalayim? We had in the Gemara in Eruvin, the Gemara in Eruvin said that, Ilmalei shinyalu daltot Yerushalayim, had it not been for the fact that the gates of Yerushalayim closed, then Yerushalayim would have been a Reshut HaRabim. But they did have gates, or the fact that they had the potential to close made it that Yerushalayim didn't have a Reshut HaRabim. That's what the Gemara in Eruvin says, not a Reshut HaRabim. So what are they worried about the knives for? They could carry the knives. We don't have a Reshut HaRabim here. Even if it's a Karbalit, they could do a Shittuv, the Genua, and Eruv, they could have made it possible to carry the knives through Yerushalayim because you did not have a Rishut or Rabim. So what's the issue here at all? So Tosafot answers here, similar to what he answers in the Gemara in Eruvin. There he's answering a different question, different stira. Is that, Hayu Pratzot? That was before they broke breaches in the wall. At some point there were breaches broken into the wall of Yerushalayim, and then it was no longer an issue. There was a Rishut or Rabim because they couldn't close it in. It wasn't really closed in anymore. So he says that there were different periods of time. Periods of time where Yerushalayim did not have a Rishut Rabim. Periods of time where it did have a Rishut Rabim. As to why, with regards to the Pesach bin Docheh et HaShabbat, the Gemara didn't say, Imenim b'nevim heim, b'nei divim heim, and just let's see what the people do the next day. There are a number of reasons why they may not have done that. Number one is, because as we said before, the question might not have been as to whether Korban Pesach is Docheh et HaShabbat, but something more nuanced. And that more nuanced question wouldn't have been answered by the fact that they did bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbat. In addition to that, it might be a difference between a din d'oraita and a din d'rabanan. The fact that Korban Pesach is Docheh et HaShabbat is a din d'oraita, we're not going to be somech on the practice of the Am. Whereas here, we're talking about the carrying of the knife, which we're going to see on the upcoming Gemara, is only a din d'rabanan. Over there, we're willing to be somech on the minhag ha'am. Lastly, it might be that that's only a last resort, which is that if we don't have a reason, then that becomes a last resort. So over here, when the previous case where they found Hillel and they had someone who knew the answer, so then they had the answer. Over here where they had nobody who knew the answer, the last resort was to go, let's be someich on the people.
Now the Gemara goes back and says, Amamar, Nemar mo'ado b'pesach, v'nemar mo'ado b'tamid. Ma mo'ado amor b'tamid docheh et HaShabbat, af mo'ado amor b'pesach docheh et HaShabbat. The tamid gufei minalan. How do we know the tamid itself is docheh Shabbat? So this is where Tosafot makes this comment. Wait a minute, the word mo'ado seems to be sufficient. It's done b'mo'ed, no matter what, whether it's kol or Shabbat. Here the Gemara is looking for an alternative reason for why. They say mo'ado is the gzeirah shavah, to take it from tamid to pesach. But besides that, you need a separate source within tamid, which is what bothers Tosafot, because later on the Gemara seems to think that mo'ado is sufficient to have the limud. He says, our Gemara, this Tana argues, which is, ilay mamushum dechtiv be'mo'ado, pesach nami haktiv be'mo'ado. If you think the answer is because it says mo'ado by tamid, it also says mo'ado by pesach. So why do you need a limud from tamid to pesach, if the word mo'ado in itself means docheh et HaShabbat? So if you have that by in tamid, then you have it by pesach. You don't need a zera shav at all. Mo'ado lo mashmali. Mo'ado doesn't mean that. Hachanami mo'ado lo mashmali. It doesn't mean mo'ado doesn't help you by pesach. It doesn't help you by the tamid. Amakra, ulat shabbat bishabbato alulat tamid. So that's what we say in the musafim of every shabbat. It says that you bring the musafim of shabbat, ulat shabbat bishabbato al ulat tamid, in addition to the ulat tamid. But certainly the musafim of Shabbat are docheh Shabbat because they have to be brought on Shabbat. They are a korban of Shabbat. But in speaking about the musafim, it says that the musafim are brought in addition to the korban tamid, which indicates that the korban tamid was also brought on Shabbat. So here's your proof that it's docheh to Shabbat. B'chlal, olat the tamid, korva b'Shabbat, or kreva b'Shabbat, that it's brought on Shabbat. Amamar, v'od kal v'chomer. Umat tamid she'en anush karesh docheh to Shabbat, pesach she'en anush karesh, and udin she'en docheh to Shabbat, ikal mifrach. We can undermine that kal v'chomer. Malatamid came tadir, ukalil. The korban tamid is a nola, which is kalil, goes entirely on the mizbeach. And number two is it's tadir, it happens on a more frequent basis. So maybe for that reason it's docheh et HaShabbat. So first of all, the Gemara says, kavachomer amar luhu bereisha, upirchua. Bahadar amar luhu gzeirah shavah. So he didn't say the gzeirah shavah and then the kavachomer, because that doesn't make sense. If the kavachomer is broken, then why do you bring it afterwards? So the answer is, he brought the kavachomer, he told them, this is the kavachomer. They undermined the kavachomer by saying, look, that's not a good kavachomer, and then he brought them gzeirah shavah. If he had the gzeirah shavah up, you know, the ace in his, up his sleeve, why is he talking about a kavachomer? He says to them, bishlam a gzeirah shavah lo gamritu. A gzeirah shavah you cannot make on your own. Gzeirah shavah is something you need bin misorah, you have to have a misorah for it, otherwise, well, you can't go and make up your own gzeirot shavot. Because this is something that defies logic in a sense. Gzeirah shavah is something where you're bringing information from one halacha to another halacha without any logical connection or without the fact that it makes sense. It could actually be counterintuitive in some cases. Kavachomer is all premised on logic. So the logic has to hold up. That means that a person can make a kavachomer on their own because that is a logical argument, and if it stands the test of logic, then it's a good kav v'chomer. So you buy the chulam meidan. That you should have done on your own. So listen, I understand why you don't have the gzeirah shavah, but the kav v'chomer at least you should have made on your own. And you should have come to the same conclusion without me. So amar lei kav v'chomer pri chahu. And then that's what they responded to him, that your kav v'chomer is not a good kav v'chomer.
So once they undermined the Kal V'chomer, then he brought them the Gzeira Shava and said, okay, this is the halacha. But at first he tried to press them and say, you should have known this, should have known better because of the Kal V'chomer. Okay, Amarmar, the Machar, Mishi Pishko Tle Tochev Lo B'Tzimro, Gdi Tochev Lo Ben Karnav. So they said, the next day, they went ahead and they brought the knives on the Behema. Where it says, V'ha Ka'avid Avoda B'Kodoshim. Aren't we now utilizing the Kodashim to do Avoda? And there's a restriction, Avodot Avod B'Bukhoi Sharecha. You're not allowed to do Avoda, you're not allowed to work with Kodashim. Ki Hilal, it's like Hilal, the Tanya Amru Alav Al Hilal Mi'amav Lo Ma'al Adam B'Olato. He never had Mi'ilah with his Oda. El Mivyah Chulin Azara U'Makdisha. He brings it as Chulin to Azara, and he's only Makdish it right before he's going to Shecht it. So he prevents that problem. He doesn't leave any opportunity for Mi'ilah, because he's not Makdish it early on. So Mech Yadu Ala, then he does his Smicha B'Shochata. So the same thing over here. What are they going to do? They're going to bring their Psachim to the Mikdash. And when they bring it to the Mikdash, there'll be Makdish it on the spot. So then you don't have any problem with bringing the knives using the animal, because it's not Kodesh until you get there. Mar says, Pesach b'Shabbat, hechi matzi makdish le. Wait a minute, it's Shabbat. So you can't be makdish things on Shabbat. We have a Mishnah in Beit Shabbat, it's not. Ein makdishin, ve'ein marichim, ve'ein machrimim, ve'ein magbim, chuma u'masrot. Kol b'yom tov avru kal v'chomer b'Shabbat. These are all things that are involved. You can't be makdish. You can't do marichim, erech. You can't do erech kloni, erech zeh. That's the arachin. You can't do on Shabbat. Ein machrimim, you can't donate money. You can't make something hekdesh l'shamayim on Shabbat, and magbim chuma masrot, you can't take off chuma masrot. These items for different reasons. Some of them look like mechach memkar, some of them look problems that you might write it down. Other things like, ein magbim chuma masrot, you can't be mafrish chuma masrot, looks like you're metakein davar, because now you make it edible on Shabbat. So all these are restricted, but you see clearly that ein magdishim, which is restricted on Yom, is also restricted on Shabbat. It says, honey, mili b'chovot, shein kavod ayam zman, that's only things that I don't have a fixed time. B'chovot shekavod ayam zman, magdishim. Something that's an obligation of the day, you can do on the day. So that's Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Makdish Adam and Pisco B'Shabbat, Chagigato B'Yom Tov. First you can Makdish is Pesach on Shabbat, and his Chagiga on Yom Tov. Obviously Pesach never falls down on Yom Tov, so you never make Makdish your Pesach on Yom Tov. The only time you can make Makdish Pesach is on Shabbat, because it's always Erev Pesach. It never falls out on Yom Tov. So that's not an issue. And you can Makdish Chagigato B'Yom Tov, because the Chagiga is brought on Yom Tov, it's not brought on Shabbat, on Chagiga. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan gave those examples. So we've gotten rid of that problem now, because it's something that's kavul osman, has a different din than what the Gemara in Beit says, because it's for today, it's right away you're going to use it, that you can be makdish. Tosfot brings over here, and this is the way the Bavli answers the problem, in terms of doing work with the Korban of Pesach, because it says, it's not a problem, you only makdish it after the fact. It says in the Yushalmi, they give a different answer, and says that, depends if it's tzorach ha-karban or eno tzorach ha-karban. That if something is done for the tzorach, the animal itself, for the tzorach ha-karban, it's not considered to be doing avodah with the korban. They bring examples from the parah adumah, that you could do things for the parah adumah, even though technically they're avodah, and you're not allowed to do avodah with the parah adumah, you're allowed to do it if it's for protection of the parah adumah, or it's for the sake of the parah adumah itzma. And so through that, the Yushalmi proves that you could have korbanot that you do avodah with them as long as it's for their own sake, which is here, the knife is for the purpose of the korban, and therefore it's not considered to be an avodah that's problematic in terms of a korban pesach. So he just brings that the Yushalmi has an alternative answer to this versus what we have here in the Bavli, which says that they want to makdish it after the fact. In Yushalmi, they said that if it's an avodah that's for the sake of the korban, then that's not considered to be an avodah that we worry about. The other thing Tosafot would ask is, don't we have a problem of chulin b'azara? Is that you're not allowed to bring chulin into the azara. It's one of the restrictions. That's why we don't allow you to bring korbanot, besafek, and things like that, because you're not allowed to be machnis chulin azara. So he says that this is an exception to that rule, because when are you not allowed to bring chulin to the azara? That's when you intend to put the chulin into the avoda with what otherwise would be the chulin. Then we have a problem with it. But here, where you're bringing the korban in order to be makdishit in that makom, that's not a problem of bringing chulin to the azara. Because your intent is not to put the chulin on the mizbeach, your intent is to make it kodesh before it gets on the mizbeach. So he says that is a difference between mikrim, where we say this is mechnis chulin azara, versus over here, where it's considered to be okay, because the chulin that you're taking in, you're going to turn into kodesh inside of the mikdash. So now we dealt with the issue of makdishit and avoda bekodeshim. Now what about halo mechamer? Isn't there a problem, a separate problem of avodah on Shabbat, which is that you're driving an animal, you're telling the animal to go, you can't carry it, you have to drive the animal there, and he's carrying a load. That's exactly called mechamer on Shabbat. You have a load on his back, and you're driving the animal. Mechamer k'l'achar yad. It's really mechamer k'l'achar yad. Mechamer k'l'achar yad, I mean, he disurah deraita lech, disurah derabanan mi'ika. Okay, if you do a k'l'achar yad, you do a shinoi. You got rid of the problem, mi'da oraita. So that here you're carrying a knife. This is not the normal way to carry a knife on the back of an animal. You don't stick it into its wool or between its horns. So it's not the normal way to do it. So it's not the normal way to do it. You're right. You got rid of the problem of Isur Doraita, but that just drops it down to an Isur Derabanan. And once we have an Isur Derabanan, Isur Derabanan is a problem on Shabbat. So now he says, I know the Kabbai Minei. That's exactly the question that they were asking. B'nei B'teira, when they were asking Hillel, this was the question they were asking him. Davar sheyesh lo heter min haTorah, v'davar shvut omed lefanav lo akro. He says, something that's muter min haTorah, meaning mechamer kelachar yad, but it has a davar shvut that's still in Isur Derabanan. So then, kelachar yad b'mokum mitzvah mai. Here, where it's kelachar yad, and it's a mokum mitzvah, what's the din? Amalein halacha zu shamati shachachti. I heard this halacha, and I forgot about it. Elei nichol, I am the Yisrael. That's exactly his answer. Let's see what the people do. Now, what's interesting over here is that we just had in the Mishnah that we're mamid shvut b'makom mitzvah. We don't allow you to violate any isur derabanan. So how come all of a sudden over here we're allowing you to violate an isur derabanan? Rashi says that it's different than a regular shvut because it's kila achar yad and kochol achar yad lo shchicha. So that's number one. This is a lower form of shvut. It's a lower form of isur derabanan because it's something that is unusual. It's something that's not the normal way to do it. And number two, there's a mitzvah. So if I combine those two things together, I get down to a point where this is a shvut or an isur derabanan that we possibly would allow you to violate on Shabbat. So as opposed to the other shvutim that are mentioned in the Mishnah, these are shvut that are regular ways to do these things, and they're problematic on Shabbat, and it's not necessarily a makom mitzvah. Some places it is a makom mitzvah. There we're not going to allow you to violate it. In other instances like this, where you have a weaker shvut, meaning that even Mechamer as a Doraita is not Chayav like the other Melachot on Shabbat. Mechamer is in a separate category from the other Melachot on Shabbat. And then you made it into Kalachayad, you dropped it down a level to a Shvut, and Kalachayad, which is Lo Shchiach. Once you've dropped down the Isur to a much lower level, Makom Mitzvah, and over here they were Matir. Tosfot over here also notes, didn't we say in our Mishnah that the distinction in Shvut is whether you can do it for Erev Shabbat, and the Nags could have been brought in Erev Shabbat. Says over here that maybe there's a difference between you yourself versus your Be'ima. Shvut that deals with you is more chamur than a shvut that deals with a be'ima. Because of that distinction, again, it's a lighter form of shvut here, and therefore they're willing to waive it, the makom mitzvah for Korban HaPesach. Tosafot said this on the daf, yesterday's daf as well, which is something that we said over and over again in the Gemara in Eruvin, which is, even though in general we say in shvut b'migdash, and when it comes to kodashim, maybe there's no dinei derabanan as a problem, he says that that's not a given, and that's not an absolute term. There's certain Isurei Derabanan where the Chachamim wanted to uphold the din, despite the fact that it was only a shvut, and they said the shvut applies in the Mikdash anyway. And there are other times where they waived the shvut. So it's not like there's a plow or a principle that you can establish here. It depends on the shvut. So over here they did waive the shvut because of the nature of the shvut. In other cases they did not waive the shvut. Now the Gemara moves on into a little bit of a gadata, but reflects what happened with Hillel. Remember Yudha Marav, call Mityaher, person who is haughty, someone who raising themselves up like a peacock. Im chachamhu, hachmato mistakalet mimenu. If he's a chacham, his chachma, his wisdom leaves him. Im navihu, if he's a navi, nivuato mistalek mimenu. Im chachamhu, hachmato mistalek mimenu. If he's a wise man, his wisdom leaves him. Mi Hillel. That's exactly what just happened with Hillel. Hillel, after they appointed him the nasi, he started to act in a slightly haughty manner. He started to be a little bit patronizing towards them. The fact, oh, you didn't learn this. How come you didn't find, you weren't mishamesh? Maya Valtalion like I did. Sure enough, right after that, what happens? He forgets the halacha. I mean, that's a midah connected midah. Damar mar, hitchil mikanchan bidvarim. He started to push them a little bit, poke fun of them about this. V'kamadu halacha zu shemati v'shachachti. And right away afterwards, he says, this halacha I heard, but I forgot it. He was taken down, in a sense. I mean, that he tried to bring himself up and elevate himself, and as soon as he did that, the midah connected midah, he was taken back down. If it's in Inavi, the Navi loses their nevuah, midvorah. This is from Dvorah. In Shirat Dvorah, it says, Dichtiv. Over there, she gives a little history in her Shirat Dvorah beforehand about all the people that came before her. And then it says, Chadu Prazon b'Yisrael Chadelu. Ad shekamti Dvorah, shekamti em b'Yisrael. That Prazon here comes from the word Prazi. Paruz. Paruz means an unwalled city. Cities without fortifications. She says, Chadu prazon b'Yisrael chadelu. There were no longer any unfortified cities in Israel. People were afraid to live out in the open. Things were so bad at this point in time that they were unwilling to live in areas that were not protected. Aji kamti dvorah, kamti em b'Yisrael. Until I came along. I, dvorah, came along. Until I was em b'Yisrael, a mother amongst Israel. Now, her point being that there was a whole history beforehand that nobody before was able to accomplish to rectify this problem. This is a huge turning point. She happens to be right. But it was a huge turning point in the fact that the defeat of Sisera changes the dynamic of Bnei Yisrael's ability to live here, because it took away the problem of living basically in the valleys, because the valleys were controlled by the chariots, the iron chariots that Sisera had. These iron chariots were a problem because the Jews didn't have something to fight them with, and they basically couldn't be in the valley. They had to live up on the mountaintops. They had to live in areas where they were protected or fortified. Otherwise, they couldn't live. And this is a wholesale change in the defeat of Sisera in that issue, which is now they basically get a certain amount of freedom to live, and it changes the dynamic completely. So she is right about it, but the fact that she goes and says it and makes a whole point of it, that everybody before couldn't do this and she could, was a little bit of haughtiness. Uchtiv, and then it says, Uri, Uri, Dvora, Uri, Uri, Dabri, Shir. So it sounds like Uri, Uri means awaken, awaken, Dvora, awaken, awaken, sing the song. Sounds like she fell asleep. Well, what do you mean she fell asleep? It means that she was scared to sing with a nevuah. A part of her nevuah, or part of her ruach hakodesh, that she started saying the shira, certain amount of haughtiness in it, she lost her nevuah. She has to request it to come back. It says, Uri, Uri, Dvora, waken, waken, meaning you come back, my nevuah. She lost it. Why did she lose it? Because she said something that was a little bit haughty. The Reish Lakish Amar Kol Adam Shekoes, Im Chachamu Hukmato Mistalek Mimeno. A person is angry, gets angry. If he's a wise person, his wisdom leaves him. Im Navihu, if he's a Navi, nevuato Mistaleket Mimeno. Im Chachamu Hukmato Mistaleket Mimeno. If he's a wise person, his chachma leaves him. Mi Moshe. You know that from Moshe Rabbeinu Dichtiv. It says Moshe, by the battle by Midian, gets upset at the leaders of the battle because they brought back the women from the battle. He gets upset at them about that. And then subsequent to that, in Halachot, to deal with Klei Midian, it says, why was Elazar the one teaching the Halachot and not Moshe Rabbeinu Miklau? Moshe Yalamine. Moshe forgot the halacha. Even though he was the source for the halacha originally, you see that, because Elazar quotes it in the name of Moshe. Despite that fact, Moshe forgot the halacha, and Elazar had to jump in to give the halacha. Why did Moshe forget the halacha? Because he was koes, he got angry. So getting angry caused him a loss of a certain amount of wisdom. Im navihu, if he's a navi, nevuato mistaleket mimeno. His nevuah leaves him, melisha. We have that from Isha, dichtiv. It says, ulei pnei yoshofat melech yudan, inosei im abit alecha vimerecha. So over here you have a battle against Moab, where they had attacked Melech Yisrael. They attacked Yehoram ben Achav of Israel. And Yoram wants to go to battle, and he calls in Yehoshaphat to help him out. Yehoshaphat, who's the king of Judah. King Judah, Yehoshaphat agrees to go, and he says, we're one people, we're one nation, let's go, and we'll come in and go to battle to you. They actually bring in Edom as well to help them out. They go into battle, and Elisha shows up. Elisha's the Navi that shows up at the time.
Because Yehoshaphat asks for one Navi Emet to come, and Elisha is the person that he calls in, who is the Talmid of Eliyahu.
And when he sees Yoram, he's so angry about it, he says, had it not been for the fact that Yehoshaphat is here, there's no way I would even come, I would even be present here. Because he's so angry about Yoram, about the way that he's behaving, the way that he's taking Israel, meaning that he's Chotel Machti Bnei Israel, following the ways of his father. He says that, had it not been for Yehoshaphat, I wouldn't do anything. But you see that he's angry. And then as subsequent that it says, Atak chuli minagain, vaya, kinagain minagain, vaytilav yad Hashem. That he has to have someone play music in order for him to calm down and soothe him, to bring him back to his previous state in order to have nevuah. Meaning that until that point he had lost nevuah because he was so upset about the fact that Yoram is there and that he only acquiesces to have nevuah or be a party here because of Yehoshaphat and not because of the others that are there. But here I think chaos is interesting. Anger in itself is an interesting thing. The Gemara in Shabbat says, someone who gets angry is as if they worship Avodah Zarah, because the idea being that chaos is a loss of control. It's a person's inability to stay within control, within the confines, and they're going to act out of control. So here, the loss of wisdom, or the loss of nevuah, is really a midah kenegad midah, quid pro quo, meaning that this nevuah and wisdom are something that require discipline and require a person who is wise has to give counsel and so on and so forth. Same thing with nevuah. People are coming to the Navi to ask for the word of Hashem. Kas means that this person has lost control. If they lost control, then how in that position of authority can they be giving advice, or how can they be giving counsel in that situation? So when they get angry, they lose that ability to do it. It's taken away from them because they, in the state that they're in, they can't do it. So then they lose it. So there's midah keneged midah that happens. I say the same thing with haughtiness, the idea that nevuah and wisdom are lost to the person because that person assumes then that it belongs to them. Which we say in the Navi, Ali Talel Chacham b'Chachmato. Chacham should not take praise for his Chachmato, because it all comes from Hashem. It's not his. The fact that a person then becomes haughty about their Chochmah, becomes haughty about the Nevuah, is an assumption that it belongs to them. And it's theirs. And it's not coming from Hashem. It's not a gift from Hashem. It's not something that they're utilizing. Yes. They took the gift of Hashem and they used it in the right way, but nevertheless, to take something and then become haughty with it, then you lose that gift in a sense. Hashem takes back the gift that he's given because you don't recognize that it's coming from Hashem and not from you. Now the Gemara continues. Amar mani bar patish kosh kois, afilu poskim alav gedula min hashamayim, moridim oto. Person who gets angry, even if he is in a position of leadership, even if he's a person that should have been one of the leaders of Klal Yisrael, taken down, gone. Minolan. Where do we know this from? Meliav. Eliyav is one of the brothers of David HaMelech. Which in Nehemiah, it says there, and not that he probably was off base here, but when he sees David HaMelech show up, they're here lining up in Emek Eilah, about 5 minutes from here. They're having the battle between the Plishtim with Shaul, with the Plishtim and the Bnei Yisrael, and they're lining up, and there you have Goliath coming out, and he's cursing the Maruchot Yisrael, making fun of them. He says, come on, somebody come out here and fight me. Where are you guys? You guys are all a bunch of wimps. You're not coming out here. So David HaMelech shows up all of a sudden in the middle of the battle. He comes to visit them. Now, all of his older brothers are in the battle. They're part of the army and they're in the battle. His father has David's debek and he's supposed to be watching the tzon. He's supposed to be the shepherd taking care of the tzon because he's too young to be in the battle. So he's out there shepherding the sheep. And now he shows up at the battle scene. And he starts walking around in the battle scene and he starts telling people, how could you listen to this guy? How could you let this guy go to the curse? That's like the Chilul Hashem. How come you guys are standing here idly by? You gotta go out there and fight him. So he's going out, he's riling up the people, and all of a sudden somebody gets wind of it. His brother, his older brother, Eliab, gets wind of it. And it says, Vayichar af Eliab be David. Eliab gets angry at David. Vayomer, Lama ze yaradta. What are you doing down here? Vamina tashtem atatzon haena ba midbar. And who did you drop off all the tzon with in a small number of tzon in the midbar? So the coming down is because they came from Beit Lechem. They were in the Hare Yehuda, in the mountains of Yehuda. Here, Emek Eilah is the base of the mountains that come from Yehuda. So Vayarat, that means he came down. He came down from the Midbar. He came down from the area where he was up above. So he says, Ani yadati etzdoncha betorah levavecha. I know what you did. Yeah, I know your story. I know what's going on in your heart. You came to see the battle. You wanted to be a part of it. Your curiosity, the excitement of the battle. You wanted to be in the middle of things. So I got angry at him. What are you doing over here? You don't belong here. So then when Shmuel is told by Hashem to go anoint the new king, he sends him to the Beit Yishai. And he goes to Beit Yishai, and then he first tries to do it with Eliab, and he does it with others. He says, V'lo b'zeh b'char Hashem. When all the brothers, it says, Hashem didn't choose this one. U'b'Eliab k'tiv, when it comes to Eliab, Yom Hashem Shmuel, al tabit al mareu v'elvoa komato. Don't look at his good looks or his height. Ki mi'astihu. I have rejected him. Now, mi'astihu is a very strong term, but it also has implications. Michlal, davi rochim le ad hayidna. Mi'astihu, to reject someone or to that I have disgusted with this person, means that until this point I had a different feeling. Meaning that there's a change in the sense of this individual. If you just say I didn't choose this person, that's fine. Not choosing this person means simply that this isn't the person that I chose. When you say mi'astihu, it's an indication that at some point that this person had the potential, and now I've rejected him. I mean, that's what's said by Shaul as well. Shaul, when Hashem says, about Shaul, he says, mi'astihu, Hashem has rejected you from being the king. So also over here, the mi'astihu is a rejection. Why was he rejection? Because at Edna, he was okay. Why was he okay until now, and then he lost it? Ki koeh, kas, he got angry. Now the interesting problem with that is, you can even see it yourselves here, even without knowing Shmuel Aleph, is that the first passage we quote is from Shmuel Aleph, Yud Zayin. Parakut Zayin, and the second possibly the proof was from Shmuel Aleph, Ted Zayin, which is that Mishichat David takes place prior in the Parak 16 versus Parak 17 where the battle is. So he got angry afterwards. So how come over there? So Rashi says, could argue that, Eim Uktamu Bukhar Batorah, or Al Shem Atid. Gan, what was the problem? Meaning that we know there's a problem here with Eliyahu, because Hashem rejected him. Why did Hashem reject him? Well, that evidence comes up in the subsequent Parak, which is, that we have him get angry. And so Hashem knew that and understood that character trait of his, and therefore he rejects him from being the king because of that character trait, which manifests itself in the next subsequent Pasperek and Yud Zayin. I mean, the two Prakim are difficult as it is, Tetzayin Yud Zayin, because David and Shaul's interaction over here are somewhat difficult, because in both Prakim, Shaul meets David, but in different ways. And so the question is, how come Shaul doesn't know David in these prakim here? So they are difficult prakim to start with in terms of their order. But that's the way that we answer on behalf of the Gemara, that the order is not so important here. Okay, Ashkechan Tamid uPesach Tadachu Shabbat. We found the garment Tamid and Pesach their Doche Shabbat, the Dachu Tumam in Alan. Taking for granted now that they're also Doche Tumam. So Amrei Geheche Di Alef Pesach Mitamid Linyan Shabbat, Achinami Alef Tamid Bipesach Linyan Tumah. So it's here. Where do we know that it's Doche Shabbat? We learned that out from the Tamid itself. The Tamid, Alolat Tamid, teaches you that the Tamid is Doche Shabbat. From that we have Zer Shabbat Moado Moado, that teaches you that Pesach is also Doche Shabbat. Now it's going to be in the reverse. We're going to know that Pesach is Doche Tumah, and then we're going to take that over to Tamid through Moado Moado. Achinami Yalef Tamid Bepesach Linyan Tumah. Pesach Gufe Min Alon. How do you know Pesach itself is Doche Tumah? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kai, Ish Ki Yet Tamid Nefesh. It says, when an individual is Tamei Nefesh, then he goes to Pesach Sheni. Gemara Dashens, Ish Nidche the Pesach Sheni, Vein Sibur Nidachin the Pesach Sheni. True. An individual is pushed off to Pesach Sheni, but if you have more than an individual, if you have a Tzibur, they're not Nidachim the Pesach Sheni. El Abdei Bitumah, you gotta do it Bitumah, and then Moado Moado takes it over to the Korban Tamid. Again, I'm saying that this is according to the Tanu who thinks that Moado Moado by itself is not enough. The Gemara later on is gonna say Moado, Afilu B'Shabbat. Moado, Afilu B'Tumah, and they darshan from the word Moado itself. So that's a machlok and Tanaim as to what the source is for these items. Amalei Rabbi Shimon Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, Ema Ish Nintchel Pesach Sheni, Tzibur Le'Lehu Takanta. How do you know that that's the case? You're right. An individual pushes off to Pesach Sheni. The whole Tzibur is Tamei. Lo Pesach Rishon, lo Pesach Sheni. No Pesach Rishon, no Pesach Sheni. How do you know that your solution is right? El Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish Mi'acha. It's from here. Veishalchu min ha'machaneh kol tzarua, v'chol zav, v'chol tamei l'nefesh. You have to send out of the machaneh, the tmeim. This is found in Parshat Naso, beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, that when you have the machaneh, all the tmeim have to be sent out. And it says here, kol tzarua, zav, and tamei nefesh. Three different levels of tumah. Tamei Meitz being the lowest level, then Zav being a higher level because it's Yotzei Migufo, and Tzarat, which is the highest level of Tumah, has to be Yeshei Badad Michutz LaMachaneh, has all other requirements. So Yomar Tamei Meitim, Vayomar Zavim Mutzarim. All you have to do is tell me about Tamei Meitz. Tamei Meitz has to go out of the Machaneh, then certainly at Tzarua and at Zav have to go out of the Machaneh, they're much more Chamur. But Yom Merim Tamei Meitim Ishtachim, Zavim Mutzarim, Lo Koshikein. You can't have this limud because there's a time period where it doesn't work. It was a time period where the Tmei Meitim stay in the Machaneh, but yet the Mitzorayim and the Zavim have to leave. When's that? The Pesach Haba B'Tumah. When you make a Pesach B'Tumah, the Tumah that you're allowed to do it is Tmei Meit. Pesach is Doche Et Tumat Meit. But it's not Doche Et Tzorayim and Zavim. For that reason, if you just wrote about Tmei Meit, I wouldn't have known this din. Because here is a case where Tamei Meit is allowed to stay in the Machaneh, yet Mitzorayim and Zavim still have to go out. So Marbaye Ihochi Leimanami. So let him say, Yumar Zav B'Tamei Meitim. V'ayumar Mitzorah. So all I need then is a Zav and a Tamei Meit. And not Mitzorah. V'ani Omer Zav Mishtalech Mitzorah Koshukein. If Zav is sent out, then certainly Mitzorah can be sent out. So now what are you going to suggest? There's a time period where a Mitzorah is thrown out. But a Zav and a Tamei Meit stay in. Vezeh, when's that? Zeh Pesach Haba B'Tumah. What do you mean? That Pesach Haba B'Tumah, you're going to allow a Zav and a Tamei Meit to be there, but the Mitzorah is thrown out. V'chitei Ma'ochanam, you want to say, okay, yeah, that's the case. That's not. We have an explicit Mishnah, Pesach Haba B'Tumah, lo yochlu mimenu zavim v'zavot nidot v'yolodot, that these people are precluded from joining into the Pesach Haba B'Tumah. Zav, Zavah, Nida, Yoledet, v'machlu p'turim. If they eat it, they're patur, because it's not a case where you have it's tahor, and you have a tamei eating it because it's tamei. They're peturim, but they don't eat. They don't participate in the Karban Pesach b'zav. So that's not true. Elam Abaye gives a third alternative, which is olam mikra kama. Go back to the original pasuk that Rabbi Yochanan brought, which is ish ish. Imkein tichtov ramana ish ish kiyat tamei. The pasuk should have just said ish ish kiyat tamei, and then it's nitche the pesach sheni. The nefesh lomali. What do I need the extra word the nefesh for? The word nefesh comes to teach you that the only person who gets pushed off to a Pesach Sheni is someone who's Tamei Meit, but other Tameim don't get pushed off. Atanya, we have a brayta that says unlike that, which is Yacholo Yisim Pesach Sheni Ela Tamei Meitim. You would think the only people that do Pesach Sheni are Tamei Meitim. Someone was too far away. Zavin, Mitzorayim, Bolei Nidot, Minayin. Other people are Tameim. How do we know they do Pesach Sheni? Tamlomar Ish Ish. No matter what, any person who is Tamei brings Pesach Sheni. So Nefesh Tertav Rachman Olomali. So why do we have this extra word, the Nefesh, over here? Halachi Kamar. Ish Nitcheh the Pesach Sheni, Vein Tzibur Nitcheh the Pesach Sheni. That a person is pushed off the Pesach Sheni, but not the Tzibur. El Avdei Bitumah. You have to do a Bitumah. Now, when they do a betumah, betamei meit. That's what the nefesh comes to teach us, that the nefesh is only about tamei meit that's this way. But other tumot, don't do a pesach rishon betumah. So the exception, the nefesh here is not about who is nidchet the pesach sheni, but it's rather for the diuk in the pasuk. The pasuk says, ish gets pushed off the pesach sheni, but a tzibur is not pushed off to Pesach Sheni. You would think ish pushed off to Pesach Sheni is only Tamei Meit. That the Gemara rejects and says, no, everybody is pushed off to Pesach Sheni. If you're Tamei, any type of Tumah, you're pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So then what's the word Nefesh come to teach you? It's the deal. Ish is pushed off to Pesach Sheni, but tzibur is not pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Which tzibur is not pushed off to Pesach Sheni? That's a tzibur of Tamei Meitim. But if they're a tzibur that has Metzorah, Zavin, they are also pushed off to Pesach Sheni. They cannot bring Pesach Rishon. They are not included in a Pesach Haba B'Tumah. And what about the fact that Rish Lakish asked on Rabbi Yochanan before, how do you know that it means you should be Nidchet the Pesach Sheni, the Tzibur, and not just be no Korban at all? The answer is because of this Nefesh. The Nefesh teaches you that there are some people that are and some people that aren't. It comes to exclude Mitzorah and Zav. Well, what are you excluding Mitzorah and Zav from? Obviously, it's not going to Pesach Sheni, because they are included there. It must be in the case of Pesach Haba B'Tumah that they're precluded. Well, if they're precluded, that means that someone is included. And who's included? The Tamei Meit. That indicates to you that they do bring a Korban HaPesach B'Tumah B'Tzibur. Okay, we'll stop over here.